think it's the warmest winter we've had in 4 years. It's got all these allergies, everything's blue dirt.
Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Me'ilah's daf Yudal. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Yigimel Amud Beis. Okay, more in the third parak of Me'ilah. God willing, we'll finish the third parak of Me'ilah today. And more things that are subject to Me'ilah. The first two parakim were very straightforward. They were talking about Me'ilah vis-a-vis Karban. And here in the third parak, we're starting to explore Me'ilah by other things as well. And in fact, yesterday's Mishnah gave us three basic categories of what things are subject to Me'ilah, but when all said and done, everything. Everything that's a property of the Beis HaMikdash is subject to Me'ilah by Karban, so there's more discussion to be had, because Karban has to be Kachei Hashem, it has to go up onto the Mizbeach. But by everything else, Bedek HaBayis and even non-Bedek HaBayis property of the Beis HaMikdash is subject to Me'ilah. So we are on the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, and more discussion about this. HaKan Shebarsha Ilan, if I have a nest on the head of a tree, shall hekdesh lo nenim v'lo ma'olin, and the tree belongs to hekdesh, so a person was makdish the tree. Good. So in other words, I have a tree in my backyard, and I say this tree now is property of hekdesh. I can do that, and I can transfer ownership of the tree from me to the Beis HaMikdash, and now the Beis HaMikdash is the proud owner of this tree. Obviously, that means now that the tree is no longer subject. Sorry, the tree now is subject to the penalty of Me'ilah. So, what if there's a nest on the tree? Now, I got a couple nests up in my tree. Now, the nests are generally made up of twigs and branches. So, where do the twigs and branches come from? So, I'll give you two options. Either it came from this tree itself, broken branches from this tree itself, or maybe the branches for this nest came from other trees as well. And the Mishnah says the word ken. Now, the ken, or kan, however you want to pronounce it, I know there's a correct way. I'm just not sure which one is correct. Right? They're both right. Shaluach HaKen. Ki Yikarei Kansi Por Lefanecha. All right. I'll worry about it another time. Anyway, the Mishnah, I told you the Mishnah is talking about the nest. The Mishnah could also be talking about the contents of the nest. The Mishnah could be talking about either the eggs or the birds in the nest. So right now I'm going to leave that an open-ended question in terms of what the Mishnah is actually referring to. And then later this morning, we'll try to concretize and say what the Mishnah actually is talking about. Either way, the Mishnah's ruling is very clear. There's no din of Me'ilah by the nest. Now, you can't benefit from the nest, but there's no din of Me'ilah by the nest. The nest is different than the tree. Why should that be? Stay tuned, because much to discuss about this first halacha of the Mishnah. Sheba Asheira, in fact, Tosfos says, stay tuned. That's right. See the first Tosfos on the Mishnah, Megmar Mefarshli Shapir. Meaning, wait till the Gemara. Gemara's going to explain everything. Sheba Asheira Yatiz Bekana. Now, what if the nest is on the top of an Asheira tree? An Asheira tree, as of course we know, a tree that was designated as a Avodah Zarah, right? The Asheira tree now is absolutely prohibited to get benefit from. The only thing you're supposed to do with the Asheira tree is destroy it, pulverize it. Hopefully I'm saying it correctly. So the Torah says that in no equivocation, you must absolutely destroy that tree. But what about the nest now that's on top of the Asherah tree? So like a pinata, hit it with a stick and have the nest come down, and you're fine. And you can enjoy the nest, and you can help yourself to the nest. And so, it only begs the question, well, I understand, in the first case in the Mishnah, the nest was on top of a hekdesh tree, and there we said, okay, there's no din of Me'ilah, but lonen, and you're not allowed to get hana of that nest, and meanwhile, a nest is on top of a Asherah tree, oh, that, just knock it down with a stick, and it would be fine. Well, what's the difference between the two? Again, stay tuned, because we're going to have to explain that as well. And finally, the Mishnah, Makdish is a Choresh Ma'alim Bekula, that if you are Makdish a forest, Choresh over here, in this context, means a forest. Usually, Choresh, like from the word Choresh, but Choresh is like a Choresh also,
Choresha.
Well, that's like a...
No, it's a field.
Oh, it's a field. Oh, okay, good. So so if you are makdish the chorsha, the field, the entire forest, so ma'alim b'kula. Now, what does that mean? So if you take a look at Rashi on the Mishnah, Rashi writes, be'etzim, be'anafim, uvenivya. So we're talking about now the trees, the branches, and also the sawdust as well. I mean, everything. Everything in the forest. Meaning, as we're going to learn...
Forest, or is it?
Well, in other words, the only one who can be makdashit is the owner.
Right, but somebody else that comes and benefits from it.
Right, no, one's allowed to benefit. Meaning, once the tektish, now it's property of the Beit HaMikdash. So anybody doesn't. The owner is no longer the owner.
How would you know it?
Right. Okay. Fine. So that's exactly the point. Meaning, that's usually where you walk into problems of meila because you didn't know, and then subsequently you found out. Okay. So that's the. And the point the Mishnah is making over here is contrast to the next Mishnah, which we'll get to a little bit later on this morning, where the Mishnah over there is just talking about being makdish wood and not an entire forest. And there we're going to exclude the leaves and the sawdust, and okay, we'll get to that Mishnah later on. In the meantime, however, we start the Gemara on the top of Yudal Amud Aleph, and it seems like we're going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, but really we're not. We're going to stay pretty close to our Mishnah, but we're going to deal with an issue that should sound familiar as we discussed it back in Avodah Zarah at length. And here we're going to discuss it in a very short, concentrated half an Amud of Gemara, Itmar. Let's go over the ground rules. The ground rules are important over here in order to appreciate the upcoming Gemara.
No.
Okay, Avodah Zarah, anything that's designated as idolatry, right, is Asur Bahana. You cannot get benefit from it. A Jew is not allowed to get benefit from it. There is, however, a big difference between Avodah Zarah of a Jew and Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew. Okay, and that is the following. Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew. So let's say a non-Jew starts bowing down to this desk right over here and feels that this desk is a deity with deity powers, right? And every morning offers a small token, a small token to this desk. Now, as we all know, the desk now becomes Asur Bahana. What if one day the guy wakes up and says, you know, this whole thing's ridiculous? It's a desk.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And so the guy says, you know what? That's it. Enough. Enough with it. And he verbally what's the right word? I'm going to say mevatel. How do you say mevatel in English? Okay. Nullifies. Okay. He says he's mevatel. Let me leave that mevatel. So he's mevatel the avodah zarah, and he says, enough with it. It's not an avodah zarah. So the halacha is it loses the status of avodah zarah. Meaning, a goy has the opportunity, the ability, to be mevatel avodah zarah. How about a Jew? Meaning, let's say a Jew starts worshiping this as avodah zarah. So a Jew does not have the ability to be mevatel avodah zarah. Okay, that's the ground rules. Gemara in Avodah Zarah discusses it at length. What's the difference? Why should that be? If I'm not mistaken, I think it's based on Pesukim. Okay, those are the ground rules. Okay, now, in order for there to be Bittul, so the Goy has to actually come out and say, and articulate and say, this is not my Avodah Zarah anymore. I do not believe in this anymore. And he has to verbally be mevatel it. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah asks the following question. Let's say, again, let's use our desk as the example. Let's say the desk breaks. Okay, not owned by a Jew, owned by a non-Jew. And the desk breaks. And now, the owner of the desk, who's been worshipping it now for weeks, for months, for years, the owner of the desk is no longer, is not around right now, but the desk breaks on its own. Nishtabru me'aleha. So now, here's the question. It's a very straightforward question. It's a simple question. You can easily see both sides of the question. Can I assume that when the guy walks into this room, and he sees the broken desk, he's going to say, well, isn't that absurd? Meaning, all this while, I thought that this desk was a deity. And I've been praying to this desk now for all these years. And the desk can't even keep itself up. Isn't that ridiculous? And can we not assume that the goy, once seeing this, is going to basically say, I'm mevatel this as an avodah zarah? Or do we have to actually wait for him to do it? Okay? Maybe, who knows? Maybe he'll think, you know, it has deity powers, but... Well, for whatever reasons, which I don't understand, right? It can't help itself. Okay, so do you need to wait, or can you assume? So this is a machlokas, Amarai machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan Amar Asur. So Rav Yochanan says the desk is still Asur until you hear it from the guy's mouth himself. I'm Avato the Savodah Zara. Reish Lakish Amar Mutaris, and Reish Lakish says no, the desk is Mutar immediately, automatically. It's like to give you a right. It's like just to draw an analogy. Although it's not. It's like Yeshua Midas, meaning somebody loses something. Right? Can you assume that he has given up hope on it? Right? That's another debate in the Gemara Bava Metzia that we're all familiar with. Similarly, over here, can we make that assumption that he sees this thing broken and that's it? Reish Lakish says, sure you can. Now, the Gemara just simply spells out articulates both positions. Rav Yochanan Amar Asura de la Badla Avad Kachavim. Because look, Rav Yochanan's position is very clear cut. You didn't hear anything from the guy yet. The guy has not opened his mouth and said, I'm about to the Avodah Zarah. And until he makes a formal declaration that he's about to the Avodah Zarah, you cannot assume, I cannot assume, that just because the desk broke on his own, that he's ready to be Mevato the Avodah Zarah. Meanwhile, Reish Lakish says, no, Muteris Meimar Amar Hi Gufa Lo Matzali Didi Matzali. Reish Lakish says, look, the argument is so simple, it's got to be that the guy's going to arrive at this conclusion, and we can assume that the guy's going to arrive at this conclusion. And the conclusion would be, Hi Gufa Lo Matzali Didi Matzali, if the desk can't save itself, you think this desk can really help me out in life? Okay. Simple argument, but, and I'm sorry, not but, and Reish Lakish says, it's such a good argument that you could safely assume that the guy will have figured it out on his own. All right. Good. Why? It sounds like we're in the middle of a Avodah Zarah. We are in the middle of a Avodah Zarah. In fact, this Gemara comes up in, right in the middle of a Avodah Zarah, somewhere in the Membeis. So why does it come up over here? Why are we discussing it right now? Because of our Mishnah that we just learned. So Reish Lakish says, look, goes to his brother-in-law and says, I know a Mishnah Me'ilah. And probably was taught to him by Rav Yochanan. I know a Mishnah in Me'ilah. And the Mishnah in Me'ilah sounds like I'm correct. Watch. The Mishnah Me'ilah says, I can't shabar she'ilan lo hektesh einenem v'lo mo'alen shebe ashera yatiz bekaneh. So our Mishnah Me'ilah has a scenario of a Asherah tree. And it wants to contrast it to the Hekdesh tree, right? That part we get. But just look right now, just focus right now on what our Mishnah says regarding the Asherah tree. It's got a nest on the top of the Asherah tree. And what you can do is take the nest down. Now you can hit it like a pinata, right? Then knock it off the tree. Don't climb up the tree in order to get it. But still, when all said and done, just help yourself to the nest. Now, right now, we are assuming that we're talking about the nest. Not the contents of the nest, but the nest itself. Now, what is this nest constructed of? Branches. Where do the branches come from? From the tree. This is, assuming everything I said is correct, which I know is a number of assumptions, but assuming everything I said is correct, so now we're dealing with Avodah Zarah Shenishtav Rumei Aleha. Meaning this is the case.
But it's not as spontaneous. There's a difference. It's not a spontaneous instruction. Rather, you actually actively...
Well, you didn't do it. The birds did it.
But it's disconnected.
No, but that, you have to knock it down. You're like...
No. I'm sorry. Let me further explain what the Gemara, what Reish Lakish's thinking is. Meaning the twigs come from the tree itself. That means that the birds came, broke off branches from the tree, or branches that broke by themselves off the tree, either way, and constructed the nest from the branches of the tree, but branches that came off the tree. And the argument now, Reish Lakish says,
but there's also the person that goes and hits the tree.
No, the person that hits the tree, that's not the halacha, that's just simply now the result of the halacha.
But there's no function to that? There's not destroying the tree by knocking against it?
No, you just... You don't want to climb up the tree. The Gemara doesn't really explain why you don't want to climb up the tree. The Rishonim explain, the Tosfos explains. You don't want to climb up the tree because then you're benefiting from the tree itself. And the tree itself you can't benefit from. But the twigs themselves that were ripped off the tree in order to produce this nest, that you are allowed to get benefit from. And so now Reish Lakish turns to Rav Yochanan and says, look, sounds like I'm right. This is Avodah Zarah Shenishtav Rumei Aleha, Avodah Zarah that broke on its own. And now, you didn't see a guy walk in and say, I'm Mevatel my Avodah Zarah, but you can assume that now the nest is fair game. It is Nisbatel, it's nullified. And so therefore you can help yourself to the nest. And so therefore you could just simply hit it with the branches, Yatzis Bekana. So my lab di itbar migufa, Viktana Yatzis Bekana. So now this is the Gemara's articulation, where Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, sounds like I'm right. Where I have the branches breaking off the tree, and the Mishnah Mila tells me that I'm allowed to enjoy the nest. Now, there's a lot of gaps in the Gemara over here in terms of according to Reish Lakish, I'll ask you a simple question. So according to Reish Lakish, so why isn't this true by Hekdesh? Meaning, by Hekdesh.
But it's the opposite. Hekdesh doesn't become real until it's separated.
Well, by Hekdesh, right. It's the right. By Hekdesh, while connected to the ground, that's a very good point, Doctor. While it's connected to the ground, it's not subject to Me'ilah, and then once it's disconnected from the ground, it's subject to Me'ilah. And I guess there's no Bitul Avodah Zarah by Hekdesh. So I guess in that regard, I guess you can then understand the difference between Hekdesh and Avodah Zarah. Okay.
So say maybe when he broke the table's broken, but here, the pieces, he made a cave, a mess out of it, so it's a new entity.
It's a newer entity.
Back,
right, and also the oddity, which, again, the Gemara, there's a very short amount of Gemara, so you see the Gemara discusses very little in terms of the issues, but also just another point of consideration, the nest is permitted, but the tree isn't. Meaning, if the whole idea of Avodah Zarah Shenishtabru means that the Avodah Zarah breaks, and therefore the Avodah Zarah is mutter, so wouldn't you think that the Avodah Zarah should be mutter here in this context, both the branches and the tree itself? Meaning, for reasons which I'm not really sure, but we're just making a separation between the branches and the tree. The branches lose their status of Avodah Zarah, but the tree still retains. I understand. A tree. If you were so powerful, couldn't you hang on to your branches? Okay. All right. So, I also do see the difference. I do see the difference, but okay.
The tree hasn't changed.
Fine. All right.
That's what Rabbi Yochanan said.
All right. So okay. So so that's where we are right now. So assuming, and again, that's a lot of assumptions, but let me go over the assumptions again. The branches that made up the nest come from the tree itself. And the tree itself was an Asherah. The branches broke off. Now, in this case, the birds helped, I assume, but still, the branches broke off. And the Mishnah Me'ilah tells us that you can help yourself to the nest, meaning you can knock the nest off the tree and help yourself to the nest. It's Mutar B'Hana. Why? So Reish Lakish says, sounds like I'm right, because it is Avodah Zarah Shenishtabru Me'alaha, it's Avodah Zarah that breaks on its own, and therefore you'll have to get benefit from it. Okay, that is the argument Reish Lakish makes to defend his position against Rav Yochanan.
Excuse me, if a wind comes and just breaks a few branches, which happens all the time,
right,
the tree, does that mean that Asherah is...
According to Reish Lakish, yeah. In other words, those branches that fell off are Avodah Zarah Shenishtabru Me'alaha. That's exactly the point. Meaning, if it really is the almighty tree...
No, that's simple. When you talk about one item that breaks, you don't have an item.
Right.
You still have a tree.
Right.
Just the fact that a couple of branches...
I assume Reish Lakish would agree in that case as well.
Right.
So the Gemara says low. The ICHM Alma. So the Gemara says, in defense of Rav Yochanan, I can test you on the following. I think, this is now the Gemara defending Rav Yochanan, I don't know who's talking right now, could be just the Gemara's going over both sides. It could be that these branches that produce the nest come from another tree, not from this tree. Fine. So and apparently, and again, Gemara is very sparse over here in terms of, a lot of how we know. How do you know? How do you know it's from branches from another tree? So apparently, different types of branches, different types of wood, right?
Oh, yeah.
It just looks different. It looks like it comes from a different tree. We know it came from a different tree. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, okay, so let's assume you're right. So now let's go back to the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah was a nest on a Hekdesh tree. Nest on a Hekdesh tree, we cannot assume that there are different cases. Meaning, whatever the case is by the Hekdesh tree has to be the case for the Asherah tree. So if you're telling me that the Asherah nest is branches that come from another tree, so the Hekdesh nest is also branches that come from another tree. So then I'm going to ask you a very simple question. What's the difference? Why by the Hekdesh would I not be able to enjoy the nest, but by the Asherah I would be able to enjoy the nest? Ella? So the Gemara says, that's a strong question. Okay? It is a very strong question. So we're going to have to go a different route. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Let's try this. Let's go back to the branches making up the nest are from this tree itself. And what we're going to now suggest is that it is branches that grew after your Makdish. Okay? Yesterday's daf, yesterday's discussion, we're back to this as well. Gidulin. right? When we have growth. Now, the growth that comes out of a tree, remember, yesterday we dealt with a series of cases of growth. Fruit from the tree, grass in the field, and then there were cases that were not real growth cases. Water in the pit, manure from the garbage bin. Okay, but anyway, though, and remember, Rav Yossi says that gidulin have a me'ila status, but that's the position of Rav Yossi. What's the position of the Tanakhama? That gidulin don't have the penalty of me'ila. Me'ila are only for those things which are makdish pepeh, only with those things which are now currently here, and are makdish, that's subject to me'ila. Future growth, which may have status of hekdesh, but is not subject to the penalty of me'ila.
How likely that is that a bird would only take the new
understood. Growth. It's a new kimta. We're constructing a case in the Mishnah, and you're right, it's unlikely. But remember, in the arguments of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, in other words, a proof is only a proof if it's an absolute proof. If there's a way, in this case not a particularly exciting way, but if there's a way of defending a position of Yochanan, the Gemara will do that. That's classic Gemara. So Ela B'Gidulin Ban Lachem Mikan V'Kat Sarvein Mo'alem B'Gidulin. So the Gemara says, and that's the case in the Mishnah, it is the growth that comes afterwards. So now, and there's no Mi'ila by the Gidulin. So Hachinam Mimistam B'Disa Kadach Adaisi Ma'am Ma'ayatiz B'Kan L'Shkolem Mishkal. So and the Gemara says, and it does make sense, that the branches that were used came from the tree itself, because if the branches came from another tree, and it's clear and it's apparent that this nest that was constructed were from branches from another tree, so why are we hitting it like a piñata? Take it with your hand, right? And again, there's a lot of gaps in the Gemara over here. Go, I'm giving you the short version. You can go through the Tosos, go step by step through the Gemara over here, and fills in a lot of the gaps over here. But basically, what the Gemara assumes right now is that if it were branches from another tree, so then the rabbis would make no such gezeira. Meaning, go up, just grab it with your hands. You're not going to take branches from this tree. You could clearly see the difference between the branches of this tree versus the branches of another tree. The fact that it says hit it from the tree is an indication that the branches over here are actually from this tree itself. Okay.
So we're back again.
So no. I know it's hard to follow. It's a little piece of Gemara, but it's a little bit tricky. It's a little tricky piece of Gemara. Okay, so where do we stand right now? We've defended Rav Yochanan. Let's go over this again. Avodah Zarah breaks on its own. We have two positions: Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says that it is still going to be prohibited until you hear the guy say, "I'm done with this as a deity, done." And Reish Lakish says, "No. The assumption you can make is that the guy has given up on it. If it can't save itself, how in the world can it save me?" It's such a clear argument, you can assume the guy's going to make the argument even before he articulates it, even before he knows about it. Okay, that's a machlok between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now we have a Mishnah Me'ilah. The Mishnah Me'ilah talks about a nest on top of an Asherah. We're going to assume that the nest on top of the Asherah are made, constructed from twigs of the Asherah itself. What does our Mishnah teach us? Enjoy it. Enjoy the Asherah tree. So from Reish Lakish's position, so his position is clear cut, meaning good, serves my opinion very well. Because look, the branches broke off the tree, and the Mishnah is telling you can enjoy it. Good, sounds good to me.
The whole tree you can enjoy.
Again, even Reish Lakish, and I made this point earlier. Even Reish Lakish is not going to tell you to enjoy the tree.
Just
the nest. I understand that, and I can even hear the argument that the tree itself should be mutter, but mm-hmm. It seems from the Gemara that the tree itself, and Tosfos also.
Yeah, still a tree.
Okay,
you know.
Fine. So only the nest. So that's Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan would say, in his defense, no. The branches that were used to construct this nest were branches from this tree. I grant you that. Oh, so why then can you enjoy it? Because we're talking about growth that comes after your makdishit. And conversely, by the Asherah, it's talking about branches that grew after it was designated as an Asherah.
Oh.
And that's why you can enjoy the branches.
So Rav Yochanan is good on both accounts with that argument.
Yeah, and that's how Rav Yochanan would understand, right, both points of the Mishnah.
And okay. So in both cases, the growth is going be non-hektish or non-avodah zarah.
Yeah, that's where I would sing.
Okay, now I understand.
I think I understand. Okay. Okay. So the Aisima Amma Amayatis Bakana, okay, Lishklam Afsa. Amarabi Abahu, the Aisima Amma, okay, fine. That is our first approach of how to understand the Mishnah Me'ilah in the context of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Amarabi Abahu Amarav Yochanan. Now I think, no, by the way, Aaron, I think I'm wrong. Which is why I'm, in other words,
it's too easy.
No. No, because by the Asherah, right, I think, by the Asherah, just give me a second. I have a hush of the Kayat, is a problem, the Bandai call me. Yeah, I'm not sure if then we can successfully defend Rav Yochanan. Correct. Because this answer of Gidulim only helps by Me'ila. It's not going to help by Asherah. Gidulim by Asherah Mutter? I don't think that's correct. Okay. Sets us up now for the next part of the Gemara, which is the defense of Rav Yochanan. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's defend Rav Yochanan.
So Rabbi Yochanan,
at this point right now, right, it's going to have issues. It's going to have issues with this Mishnah.
Growth from Atzud Ishira is not going to be something that you can do.
Correct. All right, so he's going to have some issues. So let's help Rav Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. La Olam Daisi Me'alma. So Rav Yochanan says that really, the truth of the matter is that the tree comes me'alma, comes from elsewhere. And let's take those words out. The Bach takes those words out because, as we're going to see in just a moment, those are really not. It's no longer the nest that becomes a critical issue. Umayat is yatis efrochim. So the Gemara says, here's what we're going to shift in terms of our assumption. We're no longer talking about the nest, meaning, right, ki kare kansi pola fanecha, right, or we're going to discuss a whole mishnah about kinim. Now the word ken itself actually refers to the nest. But, as we see time and again, both in Chumash and the Mishnayos, ken actually refers to not the nest, but the contents of the nest, i.e. eggs or chicks. Eggs or chicks. And so what the Mishnah here is actually referring to is not the nest. The nest itself may be prohibited. By Hekdesh and by Asherah, the nest is prohibited because the nest is constructed from twigs of the tree, and the tree is also, so therefore the nest is as well. So let's not even assume that we're talking about the nest. We're talking about the contents of the nest, i.e. Efrochin, the chicks. And so what the Mishnah now is telling us is that when you go up to the Asherah, you can yatis bekana. Now we thought that meant hit the nest. Maybe it doesn't mean hit the nest. But it doesn't mean take the nest. It means take the birds in the nest. Okay. Amalei Rav Yaakov, amayatis yatis afrochim. I'm sorry, Amalei Rav Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah afrochim, kan v'kan mutarim, beitzim, kan v'kan asurim. And now here's what we're going to do. And this is a strange way to learn the Mishnah, but here's how we're going to learn the Mishnah now. Follow me. When the Mishnah was talking and distinguishing between a hektish tree and an Asherah tree, the truth be told is that really there's no difference. Really there's no difference. Because now that we turn the topic of the discussion, not from the nest, but from the contents of the nest, so now what comes out is that we are discussing the birds in the nest. Now, is there a difference between a nest that's in an Asherah tree and the nest in the Avodah Zarah tree vis-a-vis the birds? No. Meaning, let's think about this. Right. The birds are not part of the tree. By an Asherah, the tree is Aser. The twigs that made up the nest are going to be Aser. Right? Let's assume like Rav Yochanan. Right? In other words,
well, maybe you won't want to eat the birds in the Asherah because they have twigs that are stuck in the feathers that you can't get out.
I'm not sure if we're going to go that far. I don't know if we're going to extend that far. But in other words, I'm just explaining the Gemara. Right. Meaning, so when it comes to Efrochim, kan v'kan mutarim, meaning it doesn't matter whether the nest was in an Asherah tree, the nest was in a Hektish tree. If you have birds in the nest, the birds are fine. The birds are not part of the tree, and they're fine. And so, interestingly enough, so when the Mishnah says Sheba Asherah Yatiz Bekana, it actually means Sheba Asherah Em Shehektesh. Okay, so that's a strange way to learn the Mishnah, because go back a line in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, and what about the nest in the Ahektesh tree? Oh, don't get hung up from that. That's not talking about chicks, that's talking about eggs. Eggs are going to be Aser. Now, eggs will be Aser in both the Ahektesh tree and in the Asherah tree. Now, eggs are going to be Aser. Why? Eggs are not part of the tree.
Because they can't move.
So even though the eggs are not part of the tree, but just from a perception standpoint, okay, the birds to us, we understand, are not part of the tree. The bird's going to fly away. Okay, so we all look at the birds and we all immediately understand birds are not part of the tree. Tree may be Aser, either because it's Hektish or because it's an Asherah. Right? Two totally opposite reasons why they'd be Aser, but the tree may be Aser. But the birds that are in the they're in the nest in the tree are not part of the tree. So therefore, help yourself to the birds. That's fine. But once you have eggs in the nest, the eggs are, even though technically, of course, not part of the tree. Of course.
Well, they need the
but they need the tree. So you're going to now take the eggs. So the next step is, well, if the eggs are okay, I guess the nest is okay as well. I guess the tree is okay as well. Meaning it's hard to differentiate between the eggs in the nest and then the nest and then the tree. So I'll call it Xera de Rabban, even though the Gemara doesn't use this language. But it's Xera that once I'm going to help myself to the egg, so then I'm going to think now, okay, the tree must be okay as well. At least the nest is okay. So kam v'kam mutar, beitz and kam v'kam nesur. Am Rav Ashi. And then finally, to wrap up this whole discussion, im efrochim tzrichim li'iman kebeitzim damu. What if they're really young chicks, where the chicks themselves cannot fly, and they're just sitting in the nest waiting for mom to come back with breakfast? So they are like eggs. In this halacha, in this particular halacha, they're going to be treated like eggs. Okay, now, if all this is correct, which is stated in the name of Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Abahu, so then we're fine, meaning then we have a good defense of Rav Yochanan. Because Rav Yochanan says that Avodah Zarah Shenishtaber Me'aleh Azaser, even though it breaks on its own Azaser, and let's assume that our nest is constructed from branches from this tree. So good, we're not attacking Rav Yochanan. In fact, if we're learning the Mishnah this way, it's a total support of Rav Yochanan. Meaning when the Mishnah says that you can enjoy the nest by the Asherah tree, the Mishnah means that we're talking about the contents of the nest. The nest itself is still going to be prohibited. Because the nest itself is a derivative of the tree. And even though it broke off, it's still going to be Aser. It's only the contents of the nest, i.e. the birds in the nest, that's what you can help yourself to. Okay, so that's how Rav Yochanan would learn our Mishnah Me'ilah, and that's how we would defend himself in the Mishnah in Me'ilah. Okay. Hagizbarim shalachu eitzim alam be'eitzim. Okay. Gizbarim by wood. Okay? So you're mauling the wood. What? Isn't that point obvious? It's the next line of the Mishnah, which is what we need. Ve'im alam lo b'shipui v'lo b'nivya. However, if they're interested in buying wood, so the meal is only on the wood, not the sawdust, and not the leaves. Meaning just the wood. Meaning they want 2x4. So if they're going over to the lumberjack and they're saying we'd like to buy 2x4, so the Isser of Me'ilah is only on the finished product, the 2x4, and not any of the sawdust, and not any of the leaves, just the wood itself. Now, Amar Shmuel, now the next part of the daf and the conclusion of the perek takes us through an interesting discussion. Bonin b'chol v'achar kach magdishin. Shmuel makes the following declaration. Whenever they had to build, whenever there was construction done in the Beis HaMikdash, this is how they did it. They bought wood, and as Tosfos explains, Shmuel doesn't say this, but Tosfos explains, they bought the wood on credit. Did not pay for the wood. Okay?
In the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, when any construction needs to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, so according to Shmuel, they would buy the wood on credit. Okay? And not have to pay. Now, credit of the Beis HaMikdash, their credit scores were very high. Very good. So they were able to contract and buy on credit, and then after construction was complete, so then they were makdish. Then they invested the finished product with Kedusha. Now, so that means that while they're building, it was right now owned by still the. It was chulin. It wasn't yet property of the Beis HaMikdash, And then after the construction has been completed, then it was invested with Kedusha, i.e. money was then, the Hekdesh money was handed over to Home Depot, Lowe's, whoever you want to go with. And now the transfer of Kedusha goes from, meaning the Kedusha that was in the money now goes into the wood, post, you know, finished product wood. And so therefore, obviously now the money is, you know, money's chulin. That's when the transfer of Kedusha is made. Why? In other words, why specifically this way? So my time out. Man demisnadev maus mekash lehu da'amar techel da'amar techel kedushas maus abinyan v'yav leil omnim bischaran. So the Gemara says like this.
Okay.
Yeah, the
money is not
a good favorite work. Yeah. Okay. So take a look at Tosfos. Bam Tosfos on the Amud. Right, Perish, Kisha Yubonim Hayubonim Bahakafa, right? This is where Tosfos says that they bought on credit. Velo Hakafa means credit. Velo Yinosim Maosha Hektesh, Shinisnav Lasos Binyan Ah, Shina Ase, Kol HaBinyan, Maitam. And then Tosfos explains what's the reason. Klomer. Lama lo ya hayomakdish mekame binyan ha'avanim mandim is not a demaukd makdish lehu va'amar techel kedusha samasa binyan v'yav lo umnim bischaram klomer v'i yav a makdish lehu la'avanim mekame binyan imkein lo haya yachol lefroa schar ha'umnim imao shehekdish she'ein hekdish mischalal al ha'malacha. Right, in other words, here's a basic issue. You want to pay the workers.
Right.
What are you going to pay the workers with? Right. You're going to pay them with Hekdesh money, so then you're going to be deconsecrating Hekdesh money on services, which is a basic issue. Meaning, are you allowed to deconsecrate Hekdesh money on services? To deconsecrate it on objects? So that's what we always talk about. Right. How deconsecration, chilo, can take place from object to object, where I'm now transferring the Kedusha from here to here. But on services, though, however, services is an intangible. It's not a good. It's not a durable good. So to be mechalal on services, that's the problem. And so therefore, in order to avoid that problem or to circumvent that problem, what we're now going to do is we're going to keep the wood non-hektish, meaning we're going to keep it in the state of chulin. And so therefore, when money is given and money's transferred and handed over to the workers and says, thank you very much for your job, here's your money, now the money can be nischalal, deconsecrated, onto the finished product. And by virtue of the fact, in addition to the finished product, it all could also be used to pay off the workers as well.
But now, the money is not credit that they're paying them?
Now, when they pay the money they owe,
yeah,
they're going to be basically now transferring the Kedusha from the money onto the finished product. And now with that money now, they're able to, that money now is chulin, and able to pay the workers with that money.
But in the meantime, they might be paying the money with the workers will borrow money. If they need to be paid every week, and it's a long project.
Okay, right. Well, just 1 second. So now Tosfos explains what I just explained. Okay, that they're gonna now deconsecrate the money onto finished product. And then they would pay the workers. Now, that is Tosfos' explanation of the Gemara. So essentially, here's the problem. The problem is very simple. You can't deconsecrate money onto services. You can only deconsecrate onto goods. So therefore, to circumvent the issue, you just simply delay the consecration of the product, in this case the wood, the purchased wood, and they buy it on credit, and then what they do is when they pay for it, now they're by in essence deconsecrating the money, and now they're able to take that deconsecrated money and use it to pay off the workers as well.
You have Lotalin's power, so they have to get paid every day.
Lo talent chalo is only for day workers. If they're contracted, so then you can pay them. But you can pay for them at the end of construction.
Means what are individuals, not on the temple.
Oh, maybe there's a couple.
Wait, I understand what?
The mitzvah of paying somebody on time is on an individual, but it's not on the Beit HaMikdash.
Okay, let's right. It's an important issue, but it's a side issue. Now, Tosfos is bothered because he quotes other Gemaras which sound like. There's no problem of deconsecrating money onto services. See the end of Tosfos for that discussion. We're gonna go on to the Gemara. Okay, now Mesa. So we quote a Mishnah Shkalim. We've seen this Mishnah Shkalim already a number of times. Every time we go through it, I think I understand it a little bit better. Moser ha Ketores Ma'ayos and Ba. Okay, leftover Ketores. Here's the problem. The problem is very simple. In the beginning of the year, they would make Ketores for the entire year. Right? Pitom HaKetores, we just went through Krisus Tavav. We just saw the construction. Sorry. The recipe in terms of how to make the Ketores, and they would make a batch of Ketores for the whole year. But when I say the whole year, I mean a whole solar year. So they would make enough for 365 days. Okay. Most Jewish years are not 365 days, but 354 days, right? Operating on a lunar calendar. Now, granted that some years will be more than 365, but okay, that's you know, once every third year. But most years, however, are going to be 354 days. So that means at the end of the year, you're going to have extra Ketores. Okay, so, you know, rolling minutes, revolving minutes, revolving Ketores. So just roll over the Ketores until for the next year. It's not that simple. Because we know that all Karbanos have to be kept annual. There are fiscal years in the Beis HaMikdash. Next year's Karbanos have to come from next year's money. So I can't just simply roll over the extra Ketores from this year to next year, because next year has to be purchased with next year's monies. So we're going to go through a process of basically, okay, and I mean this in the most positive way, we're going to have to launder the Ketores. We're going to have to basically create a scenario in which the Ketores is going to, leftover Ketores is going to be purchased with next year's money. So it's very simple. It's just the process is going to be a little bit complicated, but it's very simple. Just deconsecrate the Ketores and then buy it back with next year's money. Okay, that's it.
For animals also.
Huh?
Do the same thing with animals.
If necessary, they'll do it for animals as well. Correct. Absolutely correct. Okay. But the Ketores is an annual dilemma. So that's why the Mishnah enjoys the
but the animals, yeah, like a reservoir of 4 days.
You're right.
So the animals, if they're in medical condition, because they're always going to be poor left over.
Right.
Ketores is not necessarily going to be.
Not necessarily, because it might be that leap year.
Right.
Very good. Very good. Yeah?
The process of deconsecration of the Ketores, how do you do it?
Mishnah Shkalim. So that's exactly what we're going to do now.
You said, but there was enough after 70 years not to.
Correct. I mean, in other words, every year created a surplus. I understand but every year created a certain surplus. So by the end of 70 years, so they already had a half a year's worth.
So they put it aside for 70 years.
It just kept rolling over, and it just kept accumulating more and more. Moser HaKetores Ma'ayos and Ba'ayim Afrishin. Now, we'll take out the word Mimena, right? That's a major controversy, whether it's there or not. We'll take it out. Ha'ayim Afrishin Schar Ha'umnen Umechal Nosa Ma'os Ha'umnen. So the Mishnah in Shkalim says, here's what we're going to do. Workers. Now, if I remember correctly, in Shkalim, we said that the workers over here were the ones who actually made the Ketores. Okay. The Mishnah is not clear of who the workers are. You'll see in our Gemara, it's clear in our Gemara that workers here mean, our Gemara understands workers to mean people who are in construction. Meaning people who are doing construction for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So Hayim Afrishin Schar HaUmnin. So what they would do is they would set aside money for the workers. O Mechal Nosa Amaos. Now this money, which is earmarked for the workers, is now going to be Chulin. Then what they're going to do is they're going to take Ketores, last year's Ketores, and transfer the Kedusha of the Ketores onto the deconsecrated money. So now that the money is absorbed, the Kedusha of the Ketores now is Chulin. Amasa Umnim, Nosden Osala Umnim. And now what we would do is we'd hand over the Ketores to the Umnim. Now, don't actually hand over the Ketores to the Umnim, that's just strange. But it means that we made some akinyan, we made a transfer, a legal transfer of the Ketores over to the workers. Now the workers have the Ketores, So now what the Beis HaMikdash is going to do is buy back the Ketoros from the workers. What money are they going to use to buy it back? You guessed correctly, next year's money. And using next year's money, they're going to now buy back the Ketoros from the workers. Okay.
What so, the money that they do the transfer?
Yeah, it's a good question. Meaning, right, maybe that was just kept now as Bedek HaBayis money. Yeah, right, good question. I'm not sure. The Amai Lech Le'abinyin Deloh, I'm sorry. So the Gemara's question now is simple. Look, if Shmuel's right, that every time they would do construction, they would always do it on credit, so that it gave them the opportunity to be Mechalol money onto the building, so at the end of the year, they had this Ketoros issue, and they didn't know what to do with the Ketoros, so why not be Mechalol money, instead of be Mechala on the workers, be Mechala on the building. So the Gemara says, Deloik Abinyan. So the Gemara says, okay, there's maybe the Mishnah in Shkalim is talking about a case where there's just simply not enough building. The Hamaos HaUmnin Ketani. So the Gemara says, okay, but what do you mean there's not enough building? Isn't the Mishnah talking about where there are workers who are doing construction? Which is why I'm telling you that our Gemara is assuming that we're talking about workers who are doing construction. So the Gemara says, Deloik Abinyan Kashir Maos. Okay, the Gemara says, fine, but not enough. Meaning, okay, there's work, but just not enough work. So the Gemara says, yeah, but can we put Shmuel together with another Shmuel? Shmuel also says that whenever you deconsecrate, it doesn't have to go dollar for dollar. It can go dollar onto a penny. Meaning, chilul works even if the ratio is not dollar for dollar. So the Gemara says, Hani mila diavad, lechatchila lo. The Gemara says, you're right, but as a lechatchila position, you can't take that position. Bidiavad, it works, but not lechatchila. So therefore, the only way that we know assuredly that it works lechatchila is to use this system that we designed. But to rely on there being binyan at the end of every year, and so that we can deconsecrate on the binyan, that's just simply not going to be systematically good year in, year out. Okay, so now, question. Shmuel says that when we build in a state of chulin, which means that they buy their lumber on credit. So the lumber is not yet of kedusha, and then afterwards they consecrate. Why? So explanation number one is because we want to be able to deconsecrate money onto goods because we can't deconsecrate on services. That's answer number one. Let's go through answer number two. Let's finish the parak. Rav Papa Amar Hainu Taima Debonim Bechol Lo Nina Torah L'Malachi Asharis. The Gemara gives a second explanation, and the second explanation goes like this. It's really, we're out to help the workers, the construction workers. Because we know that the Torah is not given to Malachi Asharis. The Torah is not given to angels. And Amar Dilma Baila Mizgei V'Zaga Alayhu Ibanu Bekdusha Yishaka Dekamal Bekdusha. Look, if the lumber that's purchased is in fact consecrated, so now the workers are going to be working with 2x4s that are hektish. Now let's say the worker is tired and wants to sit down and take a little bit of a break. He's going to sit down on the lumber, and he's going to be moel the hektish. So basically, to protect the workers, we're going to leave the beams unconsecrated until after the building is finished. So the Gemara says, okay, what about our Mishnah? So Amri Dilma Baila Mizga Vizaga Laim Vishaka Dekamal Bekashim. So Amri Papa Ibe Eitzim Demikan Ve'ela Chachanami Elaki Tanam Bemasifim Be'eitzim Diyume. So the Gemara says we're going to make the following distinction. In other words, if it's a long term project, so then, and there's a possibility that the worker's going to sit on it. So then, as we just described, the lumber is going to be purchased on credit. The lumber is going to be kept unconsecrated, so as to protect the workers who are working long term. But if it's just a day job and everything will be completed today, so then you can be makdish the wood, and the wood will be. In other words, we don't need to make any type of protective layers for the workers because everything will be finished. Started and finished today, and so therefore there is no need to wait until after in order to consecrate the wood. Okay, that's the difference between Shmuel and our Mishnah. Hajjalach Vlad Chatas, that is the end of the third parak of Me'ilah. Yes Hashem, tomorrow we're going to start the fourth parak.